or your silenced electronic device. Open up to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. What a joy it is to be able to open God's Word together. Amen. Last Sunday, I preached an overview of Acts 20, verses 17 through 38. In that passage, Luke records for us the farewell meeting of the Apostle Paul with the elders of the Ephesian church. Remember, Paul and his traveling companions are on their way to Jerusalem, taking the benevolence offerings that they had collected from the churches that had been planted in Galatia, in Asia, Macedonia, and Achaia. According to God's sovereign design, the ship they were sailing on stopped at the port of Miletus, which was near Ephesus. The Apostle Paul had spent 3 years at Ephesus proclaiming the gospel to both Jews and Greeks, planting a church, teaching and discipling the new followers of Christ, and appointing elders to shepherd the church. Paul had then left to visit the churches in Macedonia and Achaia to encourage them and to pick up the men who would deliver their gifts to the impoverished Christians in Jerusalem. Now, after having been gone for somewhere between a year and a year and a half, Paul arrives in Miletus and he sends for the elders in Ephesus to come and meet with him one last time. Look at verse 17. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. The elders must have been thrilled to get the news, and they went to Miletus for one last meeting with the Apostle Paul, who meant so much to them. Last Sunday, we spoke about the first part of this meeting, which involved Paul reminding these men of his ministry to them, that they might be encouraged to follow his example themselves. Paul had poured out himself, if you will, to the church in Ephesus. Day and night, 7 days a week, Paul had done the work of proclaiming the gospel, of discipling, of teaching, and of modeling what it means to follow Christ, what it means to be a minister for Christ. He had modeled this for these elders, and now he reminded them of it. He told the elders that he had served Christ and his church with humility, with tears, teaching in public and in private, that he was willing to sacrifice even his life for Christ, and that he had the right motives. He had pure motives in all that he had done. And his desire was for them to follow his example in the things that they would now do as the shepherds of the church, as they shepherded the flock of God who had been entrusted into their care. In sharing his testimony with these church elders, Paul is providing for them and for us as well a pattern of godly, Christ-like ministry. We ourselves are to follow Paul's example, just as he followed Christ's example. And we are to live our lives as an example to others. Amen? We follow their example, and others follow our example. That's the way it's meant to be. So after sharing his testimony with them, he then reminds them of their charge or responsibility as elders over the church entrusted into their care. So that's going to be our text for today. Acts 20, verses 28 through 32. If you can, why don't you stand with me as I read that text? Acts 20, 28 to 32. The Apostle Paul speaking. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift that you've given to us of your holy word. Teach us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So last Sunday, in my overview of this passage, I mentioned briefly that Paul's charge to the elders is a threefold charge, three parts to it. First, they are to keep watch over themselves, then over the church that's been entrusted to them, and third, watch for false teachers and false teaching. But before we look at Paul's charge to these men, we need to understand what it means to be an elder. Now, I just turned 65, so now I'm a senior citizen, or some might say he's an elder, right? Meaning an older person, or maybe a mature person, right? But that's not necessarily what the Bible means when it says elder. Unlike the majority of churches in the world today, in Paul's day, all the churches were elder-led churches. Most churches today are not led by biblical elders. That's not the manner in which the church is structured. In fact, I was a Christian for 21 years and involved in churches virtually that whole time. Never did I visit a church that was elder-led until I came to Christian Family Fellowship when I first visited here. We have already seen in Acts, as we've been studying through the book of Acts, we've already seen in Acts chapter 11 that the church in Jerusalem was elder-led. Then in Acts chapter 14, we were told by Luke that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church that they had planted. Whenever Paul went and planted a new church, he also raised up elders to lead and care for that church. We also know that he wrote in his letters to 1 Timothy, to Timothy and to Titus, the requirements for elders and instructed them to appoint elders in every city and town. So what is an elder? An elder is an appointed overseer who shepherds the church. Today, we most commonly refer to these men as pastors. And you may or may not know this, but that title, pastor, comes from the Greek word meaning shepherd. According to the New Testament definition of elders, now remember, we could go around and ask people today, what is your definition of an elder? I don't really care that much about public opinion of what an elder is. I want to know, what does the Bible say an elder is? And according to the New Testament definition of elders, these are men raised up by God to lead the church, preach and teach the word of God, exhort and admonish the saints in sound doctrine, visit the sick and pray for them, judge over doctrinal issues, and protect the church from false teachers. These are the shepherds chosen by God to care for his sheep. They are God's gift to the church. They are God's gift to us. Amen? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God so loves the church that he gives them shepherds to care for them. The biblical image of a shepherd caring for his flock, standing and walking for long hours, ensuring the safety of the flock, leading it to fresh pasture and clear water, carrying the weak, seeking the lost, healing the wounded, and caring for the sick. That biblical imagery is very precious, isn't it? It's precious. The shepherd-sheep relationship is so incredibly rich that the Bible uses it repeatedly to describe God and his loving care for his people. Michael Lucas preached a few weeks ago on the 23rd Psalm. We know how that psalm begins. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything, because my shepherd is going to care for me. That's an example of this loving shepherd-sheep relationship that the Bible uses. Thus, when Paul and later Peter give instructions to elders, they use shepherding imagery as well. The elders are the pastors or the shepherds of the church. And so in our text, the Apostle Paul is reminding the Ephesian elders of their responsibilities in shepherding the church that has been placed under their care. He begins in verse 28 by reminding them that first and foremost, they must pay careful attention to yourselves. So they must keep watch over themselves. The first priority for anyone involved in spiritual leadership or ministry is their own relationship with God. These elders had to pass through a long list of qualifications in order to become an elder. And now, once they had become an elder, they needed to watch over their own heart and life lest they be disqualified. Has that ever happened? Oh, yes. Over and over and over and over again, even in this church. In order to shepherd the flock, the elders must prove to be examples to the flock in their faith and in their conduct. There's a parallel passage to our text. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5. There, Peter is pointing out three areas where elders need to keep watch over their own heart and their conduct. You can turn there if you'd like, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read just verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 3. Peter writes this: "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those who are in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So Peter here identifies three areas in which elders, spiritual leaders, need to keep watch over themselves. He starts off by saying that elders are to serve not under compulsion, but willingly. Elders are not forced to serve. They must desire to serve. It must be something that God has laid on their heart. We often use the phrase called to ministry. Well, who does the calling? Well, God does. It is God who confirms to these men that their calling is to be shepherds of God's people. This must be the desire of their heart. In fact, I was told many years ago by a pastor, Steve, if you can do anything else, do it. But if you feel you cannot do anything else except this, because this is what God has called you to, then he's called you. Shepherding the flock of God is not a career. It's a calling. The willing elder embraces his role as a steward, listen to this, a steward over the souls that are entrusted into his care. Not every task will be easy or enjoyable, but a true elder is willing to do God's will and God's work because he himself is loved by God. He loves God, and he loves those who God loves. It's all about love. The true elder loves God and loves those who God loves. So not under compulsion, but willingly. Second, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Elders are not to serve for the purpose of personal gain, whether that be money or power or fame. Instead, they are to serve eagerly out of a love for Christ and for his people. It is commanded that those who serve in this role should be paid for their labors. However, that should not be their motivation for serving. And so, the motive by which they serve is important, as Paul himself has told the elders. And third, they are not to be domineering, but they are to lead by being examples. Elders should lead more by setting an example to follow than by wielding power. They lead by themselves following Christ and then helping others to do the same. Even the apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Right? So if there's some way that an elder is doing things that don't please God, they don't please Christ, we are not to follow in that example, amen? Nor should we tolerate it, right? They need to be called into account as well. They need to be accountable. So they're to strive, the elders are to strive to inspire others, just as Paul did, rather than trying to control others. There's a huge difference, right? There's a huge difference between leading by example and simply commanding others to do things that you're unwilling to do yourself, right? The only authority that elders have comes from the Word of God. The Word of God. And they should never exceed this authority. So if the elders of a church are telling the church to do something or believe something that is not in the Word of God, they are wrong. They do not have the authority to do that. Their authority is from the Word. So Paul wants the elders to start by keeping careful watch over their own lives. And Peter agrees with that. But second, he wants them to keep watch over the church. Look back at verse 28 again with me in our text. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Or if you're reading the New American Standard, a better translation in this verse, it says to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So Paul uses two words here to explain what is involved in the task of being an elder. He uses the word episkopos, which is translated overseers. That word can also mean managers or supervisors. And then he uses the word poimen, which means to shepherd or to care for. So Paul is encouraging these men and all elders to both lead the church and to care for the church. So they have a role as overseers and as shepherds. Let's look at the role of overseers first. Every church needs leadership, management, governance, and guidance. And God in His wisdom has chosen this task to fall upon biblically qualified elders. So the elders serve as managers, if you will. They are to set goals, make decisions, give direction, and motivate. They are called to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to them, which is the local expression of the body of Christ. This is a huge responsibility. And I want to note again, there's no such thing in Scripture of a congregational rule church. There's no such thing in Scripture of a congregation ruling over itself, of a democratic process by which the congregation makes the decisions for the church. Not found in Scripture. Although, that is the majority of churches in the United States of America today. This is such a huge responsibility to oversee the church, to manage the church, that Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:17 these words: let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Now that passage tells us a lot of information, which we don't have time to unpack it totally. But it tells us that there are what are called ruling elders, and there are preaching and teaching elders. Okay? So elders may or may not be on staff. We at this church have staff elders and we have lay elders. Lay elders simply means they're not on staff, they are not paid. Do the staff elders have any more authority than a lay elder? No. All elders are to have equal authority. And note this, again in the New Testament, every time elders are mentioned, it's found in the plural, elders. The church is not to be led by a single man. That is fraught with all kinds of trouble. Amen? Okay? So it's always elders, plural. But Paul here designates the fact that while all the elders rule, some of the elders devote themselves to preaching and teaching. Now, all elders must be able to preach and teach, but that is not the role necessarily of all elders. Preaching and teaching are a part of the second heading, and that is that of shepherds. Listen to this. Listen to this truth. Whether you accept it or not, every single Christian, man, woman, boy, girl, every Christian needs to be under the watchful care of a shepherd. The elders of the local church are provided by God for us because they keep watch over us. They keep watch over our souls. The bulk of their time as a shepherd will be spent on feeding the flock by preaching and teaching the Word of God. And that's because, as we know, throughout the New Testament, the writers place extraordinary emphasis on the teaching of the Word of God. And that's because the Word of God is our spiritual food. It is our source of spiritual life. It is our source of godliness. Remember, Jesus, our good shepherd, in the Great Commission, included the command to teach them all I have commanded you. So we're not simply to preach the gospel and make disciples. We are then to teach them all that God has commanded. Teach them the Word of God. Paul later exhorted Timothy, who was himself an elder, to, quote, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. He wants Timothy to know that's a priority in your ministry as an elder. Reading of the Scriptures, preaching and teaching, exhortation. He writes to Timothy that all elders must be able to teach. And he writes to Titus that elders must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that they may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. The Christian community is created by the Holy Spirit's use of God's word. We heard that over and over again in the last 2 days in the PACE conference. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. Can anyone come to faith without hearing the word? No, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Right? So the church is founded by the Holy Spirit using God's word. And the church continues to be nurtured, grows, and is protected by the Word of God. It must be the central focus of our church because it is the source of spiritual life. The elders also protect, guide, lead, nourish, refresh, comfort, and heal the church by teaching and preaching the Word of God. Indeed, most of the needs of the flock are met through the faithful teaching of the Word. Not only preaching, not only Sunday school, not only home fellowship groups, which, by the way, are all vital in God putting His Word into our heart, into our minds, but also the individual application of the Word of God. Discipleship, counseling, crisis intervention. All of that is done using the Word of God, not our own wisdom. Now this requires something of the church members. They must submit themselves to the elders as their shepherds. And as our brother said earlier, sheep can be stubborn. And sheep are very prone to stray or to wander, especially if they do not think they need to submit. Right? That is why God gives to us this admonition. We're going to put it up on the screen, Hebrews 13:17. We are told to obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now again, the submission there is not blind submission. It's not these men are going to control your lives. I heard the story once of a church in Nevada where the elders would go out once a week and inspect all the members' yards to make sure they were taking care of their yards properly, because otherwise they wouldn't be a good testimony to their neighbors. And if their lawn hadn't been mowed in a week, they'd get a phone call from the elders. Okay? Is that biblical? No! No! That's exceeding their authority. Okay? So we don't submit to anything an elder tells us. We submit to the Word of God, which the elders are charged with bringing to us, exhorting us, and even admonishing us when necessary. They are charged with keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Give an account to who? To God. Not to the congregation. That's scary enough. They have to give an account to God. I will be responsible to give an account to God for how well I have shepherded you. And so this is no small thing, at least not in my heart. And that's why when you go through the membership class here, we warn you that if you become a member here, we're going to get involved in your lives. Because we're accountable for your soul before God. And we take that charge seriously. And so if we see something, we're going to say something. Now, we're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to do it confidentially. But we're not going to let you just live your life any way you choose and please. We're going to come to you and we're going to explain to you what God requires of us. And we ourselves submit to, right? We shouldn't be asking you to do anything we're not doing ourselves. And again, I think the writer of the Hebrews, I've got to believe this man is an elder or has been an elder, because he adds that little statement in the end. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And it's true. You know why? Because elders are human, right? We're human. And so, just being transparent here, there's great joy when the sheep that you've been entrusted to care for love you. They want to be around you. They want you to feed them, right? They'll follow you to drink of the clear water. They come to you when they're hurting so that you can help heal them. It's a whole different story when you got to chase them down. Okay? And they're hiding. And you try to pull them out from the thicket and they're biting you. Right? There's groaning that takes place. And tears. Okay? And it changes the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Should it? Well, probably not. Right? I should love all equally and be just as patient and kind with all. But I'm a human being. Right? And so there's a difference. When the sheep keeps running away and the shepherd has to keep going and picking him up again and carrying him back, and then the next day he runs away again, eventually the shepherd gets tired of that, okay? And I'm just being honest with you. Should it be that way? Well, probably not. Does the good shepherd get tired of chasing his sheep? No. Jesus never tires of that, right? But this shepherd knows, okay? And he says to you, listen, be a good sheep. Love your shepherd, right? Let him care for you. And the reason that the shepherds have to give an account to God is because the sheep belong to God, not him. Right? I've been entrusted as an under-shepherd of the good shepherd. Right? Paul writes that he obtained the church with his own blood. Look at that. Look at verse 28 again. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. We belong to him. Amen? Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who is himself God, came down from heaven to earth and took upon himself our humanity to live the life we could not live, a life of perfect sinless obedience before the Father, fully fulfilling all the aspects of the law for us. Then he voluntarily laid down his life and shed his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. Dying on the cross, according to the scriptures, being buried in a borrowed tomb, being raised again in accordance with the scriptures on the third day. He died to purchase our souls, to redeem us out of slavery to sin and to make us his own. I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. Amen? We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone, and we are united with Christ and we become his people, his church, his kingdom on the earth. God has saved us, but he has not left us alone. He has brought us together to be his church. And then he raises up elders over us to shepherd us, and we are to submit to them and follow them as they follow Christ. So the elders are to keep watch over themselves, they're to keep watch over the church. And finally, Paul instructs the elders to keep watch for false teachers. Look at verse 29 through 31. Paul writes, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Paul speaks here, listen to this, of a certainty. Paul says, I know this is going to happen. How did Paul know that? Because it had happened in every church he had planted up till that time. He would leave, the false teachers would come, or they would rise up from within the church. There is no church on the face of the earth that is immune to this. Jesus warned of this as well. If you remember in Matthew 7:5, he said, quote, "Beware of false teachers who come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." False teachers do not usually introduce themselves as such. Instead, they attempt to disguise themselves and infiltrate the church, appearing to be just another sheep, just another follower of Christ. But your elders are called to be on the alert, to be looking for any paw prints. What might those paw prints look like? Well, here's a few. Undermining the elders. Questioning sound doctrine. Attacking individual members of the church. Or drawing away members, sheep, to follow them. We have experienced every one of those things in this church in the last 24 years that I've been on staff here. Multiple times. Even scarier, Paul warns that, quote, "from your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things." Paul may have been speaking about others in ministry or in leadership positions. No matter who it is, the elders must be ready to go to battle for the safety of the flock of God entrusted to them. False teachers and false teaching cannot and should not be tolerated. As I said, our church has experienced both of these scenarios in the past. We've had false teachers come in from outside with an agenda. And we have had members who were influenced by false teaching begin to propagate that false teaching within the church. In all cases, the elders must be strong and courageous, as well as loving, and they must confront the false teaching in the strongest way. We cannot and we will not allow false teaching to ravage the church. This is one reason why, a few years ago, our elders adopted a comprehensive doctrinal statement. We call it the CFF Confession of Faith. And we adopted that so that any who attend here can know what we believe and can see that it comes directly from the Word of God. And the elders cannot do this alone. We must join together as a church and guard ourselves against all enemies of God's truth, either from without or from within the church. The elders must especially be watchful and prayerful. They must be aware of changing issues and teachings in our society and in the church at large, and they must continually educate themselves, especially in God's Word, to guard themselves as well as the flock of God entrusted to their care. There is so much false teaching in the world today. It has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. And you need to be very careful of your sources. Who do you listen to? Who do you read? Who do you watch? You need to make sure that they are sound. And if they are not, don't listen to them. Don't read them. And if you have any questions about that, come to your elders and ask us. That is one reason why our church has its own bookstore. How many churches have bookstores these days? Not a lot. The reason why we have our own is because we don't want our people going out there on Amazon or who knows where and ordering who knows what kind of book from who knows what author that could contain all kinds of false teaching and false doctrine. So the books in our bookstore, in our lending library, have been approved by the elders of our church. We need to do this together to protect our church, to keep it pure. So in our text, Paul reminds these elders of their responsibility to keep watch over themselves, over the church, and to keep watch out for false teachers. This is a heavy charge to be placed on these men. But Paul closes this charge on a very positive note, reminding them that they do not have to do this in their own strength or on their own. Look with me at verse 32 again. Paul says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul commends them to God and to his word. It's true, Paul was leaving them. They could no longer count on him for pastoral guidance and wise instruction. No cell phones back then. No emails. They couldn't text Paul. "Oh, what do we do about this?" Right? But he commends them into God's care for them and to God's holy word, his word of grace. He's reminding these men that God will be with them and that God's word of grace, which brought them to salvation and is sanctifying them, would also equip them and strengthen them for every good work. That's a great promise, isn't it? By that word, as they accepted it and as they obeyed it, they would be built up in faith and in love together with their brothers and sisters in Christ. That same word will guarantee for them a spiritual inheritance among all those who are being sanctified by the Spirit and the Word. So we are not alone in the mission we have been given. God is with us. His Spirit dwells within us, the power to do that which God commands us to do is given to us by Him. And He has given us His Word as our guide, as our instruction, as our example. In due course, Paul, along with all the other apostles, passed from this earthly life. But the teaching they left behind, the word of God's grace, continues to this very day as the power of God for salvation, as the power of God for sanctification, as the power of God for the preservation of his church, and as a guarantee of our glorious eternal inheritance. Thus, we may all say, along with the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen? Please join me in praying for our church, praying for our present elders, and praying for future elders. We are in need. We need God to raise up men who are committed to shepherding his church. Whether you've noticed or not, a couple of the elders are getting up there in age. We got that one young man, but and we need to be praying that God will supply that need, that God will supply an associate pastor for our church, that God will supply the next senior pastor for our church. We need to be praying for that. And I believe God will hear and answer our prayers. In the meantime, we need to be working together to be all that God intends us to be as His church. Amen? And we can't do that. The elders can't do that alone. Right? We need to work together as the family of God, as His church. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity for us to eavesdrop, if you will, on Paul's charge to the Ephesian elders. And we know, Father God, that Paul would have met with the elders of every church and told them something very similar. We know this because Peter is writing something very similar to the elders when he writes his letter. The apostles were committed to raising up godly, biblical elders to lead the churches. And Father God, we need that today as well. We thank You, Lord, for how You have sustained this church, Christian Family Fellowship. For over 30 years, You have provided leadership for this church. You have provided elders for this church. You have helped those elders to stand firmly upon Your word and to fight against false teaching and false teachers. And You have delivered us many times, Father God. We pray that You would continue to bless the work here, that we would work together, Father God, so that we would have a greater impact in this community, in this area. Father, our desire is that You would build Your church here and that it would be a light to those who are in the darkness. Lord, help our elders to rule well, to shepherd well, and help raise up others who will do the same. Father, we know that You will. We trust that You will. We pray that You will. And we will give You thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.